This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers, WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score! This hour brought to you by Jewel Osco.
What's up, Chicago? Dio Dagbo here. Can't wait to get to work. Excited to win some championships. Bear down.
Bear down. Dio Dagbo. The newest bear, one of five guys acquired in the last week who now are starters for the Bears, all on the offensive or defensive lines. Welcome back. It's Mullie and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Mullie today. Hello to our Chicago Sports Network audience. Simulcasting till 9 o'clock. We'll be here talking Bears. We've got Brian Baldinger coming up at 7:25, moving him up in the program. Ron Coomer next hour, 8:25, talking more Cubs. But right now, I think we go back to Hallis Hall on Thursday, Mark, because you were there. It was day two of the victory lap. It was the last leg, if you will. The Bears very proud of their haul in the offseason, which began in earnest Monday, the unofficial start of free agency. And Drew Dahlman and Dio Dagbo met the media on Thursday. Before we get to your specific questioning of Ryan Poles and Dagbo, because you had some questions about why the heck he was here, not quite
about,
that harsh.
Why Dagbo was here? We did get into a little bit yesterday.
Overall, how would you describe the impression each guy specifically left? Because I think there were two very different approaches.
Yeah. I mean, Drew Dahlman brought this sort of secure, intelligent feeling to the podium. And even when we got a chance to talk to him, the humility that he brings. My favorite part was when he was asked about leadership and he said, well, I've got to earn that still. I've got to show this locker room what I'm all about. You know, just go in there and start leading and telling guys what to do. But I do think, I mean, he's such an adult in terms of being a center, and he's worked with so many different quarterbacks, with Matt Ryan, with Michael Penix, with Marcus Mariota, with Kirk Cousins, who am I leaving out here? So that really portends well for coming into a new regime and essentially a quarterback not starting all over, because what Caleb Williams got last year was invaluable, but starting with a new program, a new offense, new terminology, new comfort because of somebody like Drew Dahlman. So that's what I got out of Dahlman.
That the offensive line was in good hands. You got the sense that this is going to be a steadying force in the middle of that offensive line, which I don't, with due respect, I can't remember many times where Coleman Shelton said anything that publicly would have made you feel much better about the state of affairs, about the Bears' ability to protect the quarterback or run the ball.
Right. We didn't talk to Coleman Shelton a heck of a lot last year in terms of that. I mean, he was pretty sure of
considered
himself.
Considered
a stopgap, and it was a good stopgap. Good stopgap last year by Coleman Shelton. But they have the adult in the room now, and I do. I just love thinking about these three interior veteran offensive linemen figuring it out together, Drew Dahlman, Jonah Jackson, and Joe Tooney. So that's the way I felt about him. Dio Odangbo, for sure, when you first see him, you're like, in terms of the size, 6'5", and it feels legitimate.
Specimen.
You look at him, yes, yeah. And you say, okay, I get it. I mean, and I knew the
this
numbers.
This is what an NFL defensive lineman looks like.
Exactly. So you understand the fact that he is built that way, that in theory, again, I understand it more why the Bears were targeting this player and getting a chance to talk to Poles and obviously Odangbo himself, yes.
So let's start with the question you asked Ryan Poles, because I feel like I don't want to speak for you, but Dio Odangbo was guaranteed $32 million. It's the largest guarantee of any of the five players that are joining the Bears in the past week. And you typically see that for guys that are high sack producers.
Mm-hmm.
Dio Odangbo has not been a guy who has had double-digit sacks at all.
Eight has been the best that he's had in his four-year career.
Career high of eight. So I understand you go in with that as the premise, wanting to ask Ryan Poles this question that you asked him Thursday at Hallis Hall.
Hey, Ryan, the sack numbers don't necessarily pop off the page with Dio. What is it that you're projecting or hoping for or seeing in him in terms of being that guy opposite of Montez Sweat?
Yeah, if you watch the tape, you understand how disruptive he can be. And again, both inside and outside. And I also believe, you know, he's 25. He's played a few years in the league. I honestly, and this goes into our collaboration and working well in terms of the front office and coaching staff. We believe that there's even more room to grow for him to continue to get better. I think it's really cool he gets to come here and play for Jeremy, our defensive line coach, who, you know, they work together while they're in Vanderbilt as well. So
before we get to the question, Jeremy Gilbert, is that the,
Oh, yeah. The
assistant defensive line,
yeah,
the assistant defensive line coach who worked with Dio at Vanderbilt in 2019 when Dio was a junior? You never know where these connections come in.
That's true.
You never quite know when these connections come in, and I think that's one thing to remember. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm wondering if you felt like Ryan Poles, in answering the question the way that he did, was like, hey, have you watched the tape?
Right. No,
Have you watched the tape, reporter? Because if you were a coach or a general manager evaluating talent, you would know what you're watching.
Right, exactly. And yes, I've watched a lot of highlights. I'm not saying I have dug into the tape, like breaking it down every single play that he's made the way Ryan Poles has. But I have seen that here is the thing. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday with Spiegel and Holmes. We're going back and forth on it. It's true. Odangbo does do other things. But at the end of the day, you're telling me that if Odangbo has four sacks through 12 games, that people are going to be like happy with him? People are going to look right at those sack totals because that's the most important part of the game. So you could talk about all the other things he does.
Right.
It's about getting to the quarterback.
I agree with you, Mark.
We've been talking about this
the last
3 years.
That's why I think that was the right question to ask.
Yeah.
And I like that you asked it right away.
Okay.
Because that's what everybody's thinking. Really.
Dude, this is the one Kevin.
That's what everybody's thinking.
I don't root for this guy.
Not everybody has access to the all 22 where they say, oh, you know what? That's a great stunt there. Oh, look at the way he's maintaining leverage there. Oh, my gosh. Did you see the way he rushed over the guard on that play? Not everybody has access to all that information that informed their opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And made them feel comfortable in guaranteeing somebody $32 million dough.
I thought it was a fair question, and I thought it was an imperative question, too. I think if I didn't ask it, somebody else probably would have or should have asked.
I'm glad it was
We discussed it yesterday.
Yeah,
we talked
did.
About it. I mean, I talked about it with Bigsy yesterday, and so getting into it a little bit. So it was only I had to ask these questions.
I wanted to fact check myself because it's Jeremy Garrett, who is the assistant defensive line coach.
That's it. Okay.
And Jeremy Garrett was at Vanderbilt in 2019 when Dial was a junior, ascending at the time, and that relationship was referenced yesterday, we just heard, and he is one of 27 assistant coaches on the Bears.
So last year the Bears were made up of a bunch of captains. Now they're made up of a bunch of assistant coaches.
But every guy matters.
No, and I think absolutely. We just heard
Jeremy Garrett's presence means enough for Dio Odengbo for him to mention or for it to be referenced at the introductory press conference.
Yes.
So all these guys have connections and they have input and they have a role.
The more, if these coaches makes the Bears better, then that's great.
Okay, so next was the question for Dio himself. I'll let you set that one up.
Yeah, let me set it up a little bit because you know it's a little bit awkward to be in the auditorium and on the microphone and asking a question about a player, to being a little bit critical with him sitting right there. And one of the reporters, now I'm thinking they were joking with me, but one of the other reporters texted me after the question to Ryan Poles. They said, "Oh, Odengbo just stared you down." I'm like, "What?" And so I kind of believed it. So I felt compelled to take the microphone to Odengbo and ask the question just like this.
I was asking about the sack numbers to Ryan Poles, and he said, put on the tape, he does so much more. But how do you respond to that? Is that part of your game that you want to see, obviously, more of the sack numbers?
I mean, everybody wants more sacks. You know, that's the one number, how they value D linemen. So, you know, but I think anyone who's around football knows that a D lineman's job is a lot bigger than just the sack number. And you can affect the quarterback in more ways, you know. Sure, Coach Johnson would prefer a forced interception over a sack, but that doesn't show up in your sack, you know, category. So those are the type of things that help the team win that don't necessarily show up in the stat sheet in that sense. So, you know, that's a big part of my game. But, yeah, I definitely want to see my sack numbers increase. And, you know, that just comes with, you know, growth and, you know, just sticking to the plan.
By the way, he was not staring me down. He was very friendly for the record.
Was he affable?
Very affable. Very
professional?
Professional, interested in
like that. You know what he did? He affably and professionally told you that you don't know football. Okay. Essentially, that's what I heard.
Yeah. Well, I like to think he was generalizing that a little bit.
No, he was generalizing it, but I think generally speaking, when you have a career high of 8 sacks and you hear a question after signing this big contract and you're making first impression about why you don't have more.
Yeah.
He basically is saying, you guys need to understand. You need to appreciate there's more to it than just a number.
I don't know everything. That's why I asked the question. Yeah. I am very – Ryan Poles is right. Odengbo is right. I don't know. I don't know when it comes – because to me the idea is to get to the quarterback. And if we're looking at those numbers, it's like, okay, if that's the most important the second most important thing in football behind your quarterback, to get to the quarterback, am I right about that? Then I think these are all legitimate questions that have to be asked. Am I happy with the answers? I guess, but I'm still like, again, if he has 3 sacks in the first 13 games and a bunch of TFL, people are going to be angry.
We're influenced by what we see, but you're also guided by what you the trends around the league. Guys who get double digit sacks get big contracts. It is somewhat, I wish we could do a deeper dive in this. Maybe we will. Guys who don't have double-digit sacks ever in a season, how often do they get $32 million guarantees?
That's
really what we're talking about here. The Bears are rewarding the subtleties of the game. And I know there's nothing subtle about a 6'6", 285-pound lineman rushing the passer, but 17 quarterback hits, 50 quarterback pressures last year.
It's getting there.
That's getting close.
That's affecting
the game.
And I agree with that. Like he feels like he might be on the verge, right?
But he's on the verge, but they paid him like he's finishing the job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a fair conversation, and it's not always about the sack, because if he creates pressure and somebody else gets the sack, then I think the same thing is being accomplished. But I just don't know if you often see guys getting rewarded for coming so close.
The reason that they decided that DeMarcus Walker was expendable and did not need to be brought back is because he had 3.5 sacks in both the years that he was with the Bears. Never mind the other stuff that he did. They looked at that and said, this guy's not disruptive.
Bingo.
We need more production of the quarterback being knocked down by a defensive end. So it was all fair.
A couple other things before we forget this segment, because I think what happened yesterday at Hallis was Drew Dahlman and Dio Odengbo were definitely on display. Was the Jaquan Brisker issue addressed at all?
It was not.
Did you learn anything else about that
Unless I missed it, I did not hear any questions or any reporting on Jaquan Brisker yesterday. So I apologize. I feel like I let the show down. I think
no
that was Dustin's specific request. I had my own agenda out there yesterday.
Okay.
But I don't know. I guess we could still go on what Kyler Gordon said when I asked him about it, and he said that he's fine. Now, Dr. Kyler, he is not, but
we know that he's fine enough to be active on social media because he sure is tweeting a lot. And he was tweeting yesterday about the Dallas Cowboys. What was that all about?
Oh, I didn't see that.
There was a Dallas Cowboy who was on social media who was talking about the Bears and giving a little bit of insight into his impression of the Bears free agency haul.
I mean, the free agency is always fun because you never know what the next team is going to look like. Like the teams that you think is bonds, one team like the I almost did it again.
I don't want to get you in trouble, bro. If you don't want to say it, don't say it.
Nah, but the Bears, they were terrible last year, and now you can tell they already, you know what I'm saying, they emphasize it.
Not for sure.
That was C.D. Lamb.
So he's saying that...
C.D. Lamb, grasping the obvious. The Bears were terrible last year.
Right, but so I wasn't interpreting. Did he say that the Bears are going to be good now, or that there's excitement?
He's saying that basically there's a team of free agency that comes through every year and makes a big investment to try to improve their team, because the Bears, that's the team this year because they were terrible last year.
Oh, wow.
And Jaquan Brisker went on Twitter and responded to that by wondering if they play the Cowboys next year. That was the extent of it. A little social media kerfuffle.
Brisker he's hilarious because anytime you want to get him trash talking, you can get Brisker. Like the stuff he said about the Green in the finale of not this season, but last season, when he basically said he disrespects all the wide receivers after they had lost the game, putting the Packers into the playoffs. Jaquan Brisker's like, those receivers suck. I disrespect them.
That stuff is all great. And if he were playing regularly, you would be able to enjoy it.
Yeah. When he plays, though, like, he's a badass.
He missed the final how many games of the season?
Oh, I know. It's got to be taken. And I'm worried for the guy in terms of having had multiple concussions. But I say that about Brisker because I know that he is, from talking to other defensive coordinators and assistants, like, he's a guy that has to be accounted for just in terms of what he does and the hits that he lays out there, which obviously have hurt him too.
All right, let's talk about Kyler Gordon for a second, because you spoke to him at the Ed Block Courage Award luncheon a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I imagine it didn't come up, but Kyler Gordon is somebody that you would think that the Bears, now 23rd in the league in cap space available, $18 million left, I think, under the cap. They don't have a lot of wiggle room, but they do have some, and reinvesting in your own players goes a long way in the locker room. How much of a priority do you think it is that Kyler Gordon is going to get paid and a new contract?
Yeah, I feel like it is a priority. I do think something will get done. I mean, this is Ryan Poles' first ever draft pick. This has been a development success story. This is a guy who gets better. He's earned it. The only caveat is that the Bears did pay a guy in the secondary in Jalen Johnson 4 years and $76 million, already paying one guy in the secondary $19 million a year. So do the Bears, and he's not going to get $19 million a year. He's probably going to get more like $12 million a year, something in that ballpark.
Kyler Gordon?
I think so.
Okay, let's talk about point of comparison.
Yeah.
So the Jaguars this week made Jordan Lewis the highest paid nickel back in the NFL.
How much?
3 years, $30 million, $20 million guaranteed.
Okay.
I floated yesterday on CHSN on the Big Pro Football Show with Ruthie Polinsky and Clay Harbor that 3 years, $33 million would be something that Kyler Gordon would be more than happy to sign.
Hey, man, I would do
and
that.
And fair.
Yep, and just go up just a little bit. Just
add 3 years to his deal.
Everybody wants the biggest spot there. Okay, next guy up. You're right. No, that is something the Bears could take.
And it's
on.
Not an exaggeration to say that he's probably among the best nickel cornerbacks in the NFL.
Absolutely, and they've said it nationally. Like, I've talked to Kyler Gordon about this by his locker. When Joe Buck from a Monday Night Football game this year says that, or no, was it Buck? One of the national guys said that
It was Troy Aikman.
Good saying
memory,
this is
Grody.
One of the best. No, you have the good memory, obviously. They said that he is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And I went to his locker. I said, did you hear that? He goes, oh, yeah. So that's a bullet point on the resume.
While we're giving advice to the Bears front office in terms of contract extensions, I would advise them, I would caution them, don't overlook T.J. Edwards.
Yeah, well, this is the final year of his deal.
Contract haggling here. and you're looking to give out extensions, we always talk about Kyler Gordon, how much he deserves it. I don't know if there's a more underrated player on that Bears defense than T.J. Edwards, the kind of season he had, and I think he's entering the final year of his deal. So if you want to lock up somebody that is definitely an asset to your defense and will be for years to come, you could start there. There are worse ideas.
He was not as good last year as he was in his first year with the Bears, but last year was just a ditched season for the franchise. But absolutely, man. I mean, he just makes tackles. He's not like this massive playmaker, but he makes tackles. He is steady. He deserves it. I think Billings, I don't know, would you tinker with him? I mean, Billings is in the final year of his deal as well.
No.
They gave him that extra 2 years.
Stay healthy, stay on the field. You rewarded him once. You don't need to do it again.
You're up, and then Brisker, too, as you mentioned. So those are some guys.
Last bullet point, because the Bears did assign another player yesterday, a wide receiver, a slot guy. We need to remind people, if they didn't know this, Alamide Zaccheaus. That is Alamide Zaccheaus, 5'8 slot running wide receiver from the Washington Commanders. Had 45 catches last year for 506 yards. He's a guy that might be an asset in Ben Johnson's offense.
Yep, 3 touchdowns, 27 years old. He's going to be a third or even fourth option wide receiver. Maybe some special teams as well. 4 years with Atlanta, 1 year with Philadelphia, and then last season, as David just said, with the Washington Commanders.
And Texer, before you get too bent out of shape, with the reference to Amon-Ra St. Brown was just an example of how a player that there isn't much expected of can flourish in a system when you have the right system for the right player.
I love that the Bears are bringing in players and they've had a successful offseason, but also the to your point, Ben Johnson is going to be responsible for some development, some making players better. Not everybody's to be a made man.
No doubt about it.
And I think Zaccheaus is one of those guys.
Texans are getting honest about our view of the sack and its value. And the lack of respect maybe for Dio Adangbo.
Maybe we don't know football.
Maybe we don't know football.
Don't know. Yeah.
We will address what we know later in this program, but when we come back, we have a guy who does know football.
Yes, we do.
Brian Baldinger. Baldy's Breakdown next. I'm Mullion Hall with Grody and for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
A bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
Let's watch the Vikings whip the Bears at the line of scrimmage. This is 4th-and-1 opening drive. That's called being whipped at the line of scrimmage. The Vikings are a solid team and well-coached. The Bears can't compete yet. They're not good enough up front.
Brian Baldinger with Mullion Haw.
Like, this is...
on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Molly today, and we are talking Bears because they had the second day of a two-day victory lap introducing their new players. They've got five new starters on both sides of the ball in the past week. Yesterday was Drew Dahlman and Dayo Odegbo's turn to answer questions and address the media. And now we're going to talk to one of our favorites and regulars once we get connected with Brian Baldinger working on that. But Mark Grody, when we get Baldy, I want to know what you think about the question I'm going to ask him, and I'll ask you. The Bears are probably bottom 10 offensive line last year. Fair?
Fair.
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 With adding Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, and Jonah Jackson, and surrounding them with the bookends, Darnell Wright, and let's say Braxton Jones for the sake of argument, are they now a top 10 offensive line?
Mm.
Did they go from bottom 10 to top 10?
I don't know if I'm ready to say top 10.
Really?
I'm going to say solid. I'm not ready to do numbers and rankings for the offensive
line. I'm asking you to, though.
Where they are.
I want to know, is that outrageous?
You say,
to think?
Like, if I'm saying
the Bears could be a top 10 offensive line.
So you want me to project if this offensive line will gel and be ready in one of the top 10 offensive lines on opening day in September for the Chicago Bears? I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say top 15, maybe. But I'm not ready to just go. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll go top half, but not top 10.
Essentially, you've ascended and improved to mediocrity status?
I guess. And I think it could get better, but I'm just saying it's going to take some time. And I like the Bears' chances because these three guys are all veterans. If they were younger players or draftees, then I'd be like, okay, this is going to take some time. They could figure it out. I just don't know if, like, day one, you're going to see this offensive line in concert the way it's going
to
be by week 10.
But you know what? I can quibble sometimes.
Yeah, you're the quibble master.
Yeah, all right.
A lot of quibbling yesterday. I thought we talked about that.
Okay, we did.
Yeah.
But I'm not that concerned about week one as much as I am about midseason.
Okay, well, no,
that's
fair. And I think by midseason, they got a pretty good chance of being a top 10 offensive.
And I think that's an interesting question for our next guest to ponder. We're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure to check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And Brian joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring, aturo.com. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. It's good to be with you, man. It's been a little while.
Thank you for joining us. You're the perfect person to answer this question, or at least make a projection. Did the Bears go from having a bottom 10 offensive line to potentially a top 10 offensive line with the moves they've made?
On paper, they could be a top 10. I mean, I really like the offensive line coach, Dan Rauscher. He was masterful with Sean Payton in New Orleans over a period of time. Like, he's a really good architect. So, you know, these things generally, they can take time, you know, all coming together and nonverbal communication and five guys, you know, working with one brain, all that kind of stuff that you hear about. Sometimes that takes time, but generally, it starts with the center. I said all year last year that you're only going to be as strong as your center. Drew's a pretty good center, good run blocker. He kind of starts there and kind of it sort of filters out. But I always think it starts with the center, and I think they got, you know, a good young center. Missed a couple games last year, but for the most part, they've been a pretty good running team in Atlanta. I think that's where it's going
to
start.
What's the most important part for Drew Dahlman as it pertains to working with Caleb Williams?
Well, it's protections. You know, just understanding protections, making sure you're in the right protection. If you are in – so the protection is number one. Then number two, getting out of bad plays, getting into good plays. You know, and making sure that gets communicated, you know, in a very short period of time. So generally, the center and the quarterback, they have a pretty good long meeting every week. You know, it could be Thursday before your blitz period. At some point, though, Thursday or Friday, they need to get a good hour, 2 hours in together, just making sure that they see the same thing the same way.
So, Brian, we've made a lot about what Joe Tooney brings to the Bears in terms of being a culture changer, the four Super Bowl rings and his pedigree and past. I just wonder, from your perspective, at 32, how much does he have left as a difference-making offensive lineman?
Well, he was put in an untenable situation last year when he had to go out to tackle. He was a tackle at North Carolina State, and he played really well out there until the Super Bowl. And then, you know, he really had some trouble out there against some elite guys. And that's the first time he really got exposed. I mean, he went up against Myles Garrett. He didn't give up. I don't know if he gave up pressure. But, you know, he's a first-team all-pro guard. He's been durable, number one. He's been consistent, number two. And left guard's his home. Like, he should go right in at left guard. And he should – I don't think there's going to be much change. If you look at the first – probably – he was probably left guard last year for the first 10 weeks, and they kicked him out to tackle when they didn't have a better answer. So that's a good team thing by him. But I think he still is a very consistent player, a really good player. They played really well in the interior in Kansas City with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith over the last 4 years, and they wanted to really keep, you know, as much of that together as they could. So Tooney became expendable, you know. But they, you know, they had to pay Trey Smith. It was hard to pay both guards elite money.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the Bears probably are going to eventually have to pay some elite money to Tooney as well here soon. Another guy, Baldy, who was put in an untenable situation on that Bears O-line last year was Jonah Jackson. When he signed a deal with the Rams decided, you know what, we're going to put you at center where you've never played before on opening day. Obviously, he gets injured, doesn't come back till later. But do you think that's just a blip for Jonah Jackson? Do you feel comfortable that that guy can thrive on the Bears offensive line at right guard?
Yeah, I mean, he was in Detroit. He was in there, you know, with Ben. So I think he knows the system. I think, look, he was not good at center. I mean, but he got hurt in preseason, so I don't know how bad the shoulder was. The rookie, Bo Limmer, beat him out cleanly. And their line took off. They had a ton of injuries in preseason. It took him half the year to kind of get things right. But, guys get injured. It's a 100% injury rate in this sport. His shoulder should be fine. If his shoulder's fine, he should be fine. So I don't think it's going to be a knock against him, but I think he knows the system. He knows what they did with Ben Johnson in Detroit. He should pick up where he left off 2 years ago.
Talking with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger here on Mully and Haw with Mark Grody in for Mully today. Let's go to the other side of the ball, because we've been talking, Brian, about Dio Dangbo and his fit in Dennis Allen's defense. He moves around a lot. He's got a lot of pressures. He's got a lot of quarterback hits. He doesn't have a lot of sacks. But from your perspective, what is his biggest value, and why were the Bears so interested?
Well, he's young. I mean, is he 25? You know, he's 25, yep. Maybe 26 at the most. But he's still young. This is his second contract. The Colts, like 2 years ago, if you look closely, they were second to the Ravens in sacks. And there was a whole bunch of guys that put up numbers. Like, I think Dale may have had 8 sacks, you know, that year. Quiddy Pay, like they, you know, they, DeForest Buckner, like they had a good group of guys that kind of all contributed. Last year, they didn't have quite the numbers, and he didn't either. But they moved him around. He played inside, he played outside. I think they like his length. I think they like his athletic ability, and I think they like his upside. Like, as a guy that, you know, opposite Montez, to go with the rookie last year, like, I think they feel like they're better on the edges right now than they were, especially when you get into your sub packages when you got to get after the quarterback.
I asked Ryan Poles about it yesterday at the press conference, Baldy, about the sack numbers, because obviously that's what you think of when you think of an edge rusher, a defensive end. You think about getting to the quarterback, and that's the first column that one looks at. And Ryan Poles said, you know, hey, look a little deeper. Look at the tape. Look at what this guy does. Look at the disruptions that he has. Is that a fair answer, or is it fair to say, hey, you're an edge rusher in the National Football League. What's the sack total? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, Ryan Poles is the one that has to write the check. So, you know, he has to justify it himself, you know, the team. So, you know, that ultimately he wrote the check. And so that's a factor. Now, as a fan, or, you know, as an analyst or whatever, you know, we're trying to look closer too, because it does mean a lot getting the guy to the ground and getting the numbers. It doesn't always transfer. Like, there's a lot of guys that get a lot of pressures. They'll always get the sacks. Somebody else gets them. That can happen. But you want to be – what I want to see is what's your go-to move? What are you doing when you got to get home on 3rd and 10? Or what are you doing to affect the quarterback on 3rd and 9? And what are you – like, he's a long-arm guy. speed to power type guy. He's not a guy that spins. He's not a guy that's cross chopping. Like, I think there's room for him to grow as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I don't look at him as any kind of a finished product. Like, I think, you know, I would expect improvement, especially after this contract, to get out there and work on it. Like, I go to the Sack Summit with Von Miller and Max Crosby and those guys out in Vegas. I mean, there's guys that are – I go down to Frisco, Texas, and I'm looking at these pass rushers, and they're all working on it. Like, I think he's got work to do. I'm good friends with Chuck Smith, who's the pass rush specialist in Baltimore. Like, you look at some of these guys that have improved a lot in Baltimore, it's because it's just tireless work. Talent is one thing. Being long and being young is good. But I think there's a lot of room for him to grow as a pass rusher.
One guy who is a finished product, Baldy, before I let you go, is Grady Jarrett. He has had a long and distinguished career with the Atlanta Falcons, and he just ends up being a salary cap casualty. The Bears pounced quickly. They knew a lot about him because everybody knows a lot about Grady Jarrett in the NFL. At 32, he's got as much value in the locker room as he does still on the field, but I wonder, what do the Bears have in Grady Jarrett, and how often would you use him defensively? Is he a guy that is part of a nickel package? Is he a guy that's an every down defensive lineman? What do you think?
Well, he started 17 games for Atlanta last year. Like, you know, I mean, if he's the best defensive tackle, three technique you have, then he's your starting defensive tackle. I wouldn't worry about, you know, the number of reps. I mean, you want to rotate your defensive tackles as it is in this business to keep them fresh and get them through the season. But, I mean, Grady Jarrett's a difference maker on the field. His short area quickness is still elite. You know, he can still play the run at a high level. Like, I expect Grady Jarrett to be the starter. Now, who plays next to him, I don't know. And how many snaps is he getting? 50% of the snaps, 60% of the snaps? Like, I expect him to get 50 or 60% of the snaps. He causes problems. He's disruptive. I remember when he came out of Clemson, they said that was the best player that they ever had come through Clemson. You know, now it's 12 years later. Man. But, you know, for that coach to say that back then, he was being serious about it. He's been that type of player. His dad was a great player in Atlanta. He's got good bloodlines. So I think he's your starting defensive tackle right now, starting three technique.
Quickly, Baldy, before I let you go, how would you describe generally Dennis Allen's approach to moving his defensive linemen around in ways that make them more versatile and maybe help them get to the quarterback more often?
Well, I mean, if Dennis Allen plays defense the way he did in New Orleans, and I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, nobody played as much press man coverage as New Orleans did. That Paulson Adebo just got a big contract with the New York Giants. If he didn't break his leg, he probably would have broke the bank. Like, he's a great player. But, you know, what I believe Dennis's philosophy is, let's challenge the receivers, let's get after the quarterback and make the quarterback and receivers beat us both. We're not going to sit in these zone coverages and make these throws easy. Let's challenge every throw. And that's kind of like what I believe his philosophy is. Let's get Jalen. Let's get the guys out there. Let's challenge these receivers. You know, there's different ways to beat man coverage. You know, you can stack them and move these guys. There's things you can do, but let's try to challenge every throw, and let's get the best front four we can getting after it. And if we got to get a fifth rusher in there to kind of speed the quarterback up, we're going to get a fifth rusher, whether it's off the slot or inside linebacker, but we're going to speed that quarterback up, you know, to sort of get him going, make him as uncomfortable as he possibly can be.
Great insight, Brian. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. You bet.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Make sure you check out the Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, Ben Johnson said something that stood out to me yesterday, and it won't be easy to address it.
Oh.
With Mark Grody and from Molly, it's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It shouldn't be easy. This should be hard. You know, the spring should be hard. Training camp should be hard. Anything worth doing is hard. So it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. In particular, year one, we should not be comfortable as we're coming into the springtime. We're going to load these guys up. We're going to see what they can handle. We're going to fail. And that's okay. That's part of how you learn and how you grow and you get better. And so we're going to encourage that as a coaching staff. So nothing about this is about making it easier. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully. And Mark Grody was in the room at Halas Hall when Ben Johnson said just that. And let me just hold my applause until later, but that's exactly what you want to hear from a football coach. That, to me, we talk all the time about takeaways and what was your impression and let's get all the reactions. My reaction to my biggest takeaway yesterday was what we just heard. This is a football coach who understands the value of struggle. You've got to struggle. Football is a struggle. It is a hard sport. All sports are hard. Football is physically demanding. And nothing is easy. We always want to make it easy. Well, how do you plug them in there? And how will you adjust there? And oh, yeah, he's just going to slide in there. Nothing is ever that easy. Thank you, Ben Johnson, for reminding people that football is a hard game.
Do you think some of that is – because I've been thinking about this lately in terms of the Bears, and we all have heavy-duty expectations for this team, fair or not. I wonder what truly Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, those two guys, are expecting out of this season. Are they? Is the expectation to be in the playoffs, or is he saying, is there part of when he, because he's mentioned this, it's going to be hard thing a couple of times. Is he saying, is part of that, like, we're going to be better this year, but there's going to be struggles along the way, as in this is their own form of a new head coach, different style of free agent rebuild that the Bears are doing for 1 year. Like, is the goal 8 wins this year? Like, if the Bears are being realistic, did they are they giving themselves a year to build this up and to really get it humming in 2 years?
Football coaches, if you have the right one, never put a cap on their expectations.
Right. But he's not saying Super Bowl. He's saying it's going to be hard. We have a long way to go.
That's the way you get to the Super Bowl.
Sure, but what does
that
mean?
That's the point.
Does that mean 8 wins this year and then the next? Because I don't necessarily have a big problem with it.
You don't quantify it. Okay. That's why we never hear coaches quantify it in the way that sports talk radio hosts or beat reporters or fans will. There's no way that Ben Johnson is going to put a limit on what they're capable of achieving. Because if he says 10 wins, then, well, you know what? Why aren't you saying that you can win 12?
Right, right. And I would never ask a coach how many wins, but...
Well, I think we ask all the time at the beginning of seasons, what are your expectations?
Yeah.
And that's a staple question.
It's fair.
Now we're asking Craig Counsell, you know, 90 wins. When Craig Counsell said this, he wants to have a 91 season, I mean, it became an industry. It became every time we mentioned the Cubs and Craig Counsell, we had to mention that quote.
Yeah.
It was like you had to do that because, oh my gosh, we have a manager who's putting a number attached to a season.
It's a similar circumstance, though, right? He was the guy, Craig Counsell, last year. He got a chance last year to kind of work through some things and some bad bullpen and 83 wins. And now, yes, there it is. Now the Cubs are supposed to be a 90-win team. Things are supposed to be humming. I just wonder if it's going to be a similar circumstance Ben Johnson.
He's embracing the struggle, and he's, to me, stating the obvious. It is going to be difficult. It's never as easy as it seems, unless you are the Chiefs or the Eagles, and not even in Philadelphia, everybody talks about the terrible offseason they've had. And as Dan Weider pointed out the other day, buddy on the Take the North podcast, download it on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Bears.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for the Eagles because they just won a Super Bowl. But their next challenge, next season, is difficult. Because they have people to replace. It's a great coaching situation. It's a great coaching situation for your guy Sirianni. Because now he can speak like Ben Johnson just spoke. Everything about football should be hard.
Yeah.
That's why people love it. Because when you win and when you get to a point, everything is relative. Winning in Chicago means something different than winning in Philadelphia right now because the standards are just higher for the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to, like, early on assembling, getting things humming on the offensive line. It's going to be Caleb Williams. It's going to be a heart. I get that feeling. Don't you get that feeling for him, too? Just with all of the talk about, speaking of which, you know, Dan Weider had written about, you know, the need for Caleb to be more of a professional. And I think Ben Johnson is ready to take that on, and it's going to be difficult.
Well, that's what I love about it, because Caleb Williams does not need coddled.
I don't think so.
No. You don't. You know so. He can't be coddled.
I don't know what he needs.
You can't coddle Caleb Williams.
Well, no, I know. I know. And they,
you want a quarterback who has endured the struggle and persevered through it. That's why I think this is great. You don't have Ben Johnson. Well, you know, I hope that he's okay. We're not going to give him too much of the offense too soon because he might get too. Yeah, the cadence might be an issue.
Yeah, but they,
oh,
but
have
they,
you heard the cadence?
But they
the
dropped
problem?
Too much on Caleb Williams last year.
See,
Shane Waldron said, "Here you go. Here's okay. Here's everything.
Okay.
Go for it, kid."
Well, but at some point he wasn't ready for that.
Well, right. That's why I'm saying like you.
They should have known better. But you know what? They should have not spoken it about it in that way because I think that what it does is it creates internal expectations. Well, they're not going to give me too much too soon because I can't handle it.
Yeah. Well,
I can't handle it.
And maybe they'll give him what I hope Ben Johnson is good at, is giving him things that he is capable of producing with.
As give opposed him everything.
To, as opposed, what,
make
what?
It hard.
Well, yeah, don't give him everything it, early, but you got to pare that down once the season starts,
you're realistic.
David.
You are realistic. If you weren't realistic, you wouldn't have this job. If you weren't smart, you wouldn't be in this position. You're going to intelligently give him what he can handle.
Well, that's what I mean. What like you can't give him everything. They did that last year.
Well, you give him everything early so he can adapt and adjust quickly because football is hard and you don't want to make it easy because you don't want to back into anything. I think that you've got to treat these guys like professionals, like adults, and don't coddle Caleb.
Yeah, well, different is what I want. Yes, and I think they learned. I think there was enough indication that Caleb Williams was probably coddled a bit too much. That doesn't mean you don't have a soft touch or a different touch with your potential generational quarterback who's 23 years old. You do have to cater to him in some ways.
Cater Caleb. Don't coddle him. 773. Mark is just asking to translate coach speak. Come on, David. All right, I'm not picking on Grody. Plus, he can take it.
Yeah, I
can defend himself.
I'm all good.
I'm not picking on you.
No, I didn't.
We agree.
I was not perceiving any of that.
You mentioned Craig Counsell. He said some interesting things in Japan about what this trip could potentially mean to the Cubs. We're going to switch gears, talk Cubs. When we come back, Grody's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.